Well, Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers. And, of course, we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold your calls for the time being because let you call in any time you want to. It doesn't look like we're going to have our regularly scheduled guest. It was Dr. David Terrell. We were going to be talking about his book, Government by Political Spin. And so we don't have anything prepared. We'll just talk to you and hope that you'll give us a call. But right now, let's just talk a little bit about Dr. Terrell's book. And Dr. Terrell is a physician. He's about the same age as I am, an internist, and he started out as a dedicated left-wing liberal coming from a very liberal family and went to medical school, came out, started practicing. He was a liberal. He believed that the government could solve all of our problems. But as time went by, he could begin to see more and more problems with what the government was doing. Now, he was in private medical practice. He saw government interference in medicine. He saw government interference with so many things. And everything the government does, why there's a blowback, there's unintended consequences, and things really go from bad to worse. And so as time went by, Dr. Terrell gradually shifted from the far left to the middle of the road, and then now he's a conservative. And to me, that really is very, very encouraging, because I went through the same thing. I started out coming out of college. I graduated from college when I was about 18 or 19, and I'd been indoctrinated. I had no ideas of my own. I knew what my college professors had told me. And they told me that Marxism was the wave of the future. And, of course, as time went by, I came into practice in the city where I now live. And I was always arguing how wonderful socialized medicine was, how we had a responsibility to help people. Now, I still believe we have a responsibility to help people. I believe doctors should take care of patients many times for nothing if they don't have any money or get a reduced rate. But when government interferes, why you take away all sense of pride, you go from a situation of charity where people want to get off charity to welfare, and then you go to entitlements, and suddenly people have the idea that government owes them a living. And having forgotten the fact that any government that can provide everything that you need can take everything that you have. And a government that can provide for you from the cradle to the grave has got to be able to control you from the cradle to the grave. And the great tragedy is most people don't understand that the most carefully kept secret is that government has no money. Government has absolutely no money other than what it steals from us by taxation to give to others to buy their vote, what it borrows from future generations, or what it, of course, prints. And when it prints money, it creates inflation. So money has no, pardon me, the government has no money, and yet it's spending it like it's a drunken sailor. And if you look and see what's happened, you know, it used to, people said, oh, the national debt doesn't matter because we owe it to ourselves. Well, we no longer owe the debt to ourselves. We're having to get $1.5 billion, actually it's up to $2 billion every day, from foreign countries just to pay for our deficit spending. And that money, if the money doesn't come in here, the whole system unravels and our economy collapses. We are in real trouble. We'll talk more about that when we get back. So give us a call here at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. We'd love to talk to you. Otherwise, you're going to have to hear me talk for the full hour. So we'd love to hear from you just a moment here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of this station. They're my views, the views of our guests. And, well, we were supposed to have had Dr. David Terrell with us this afternoon, and we don't have him, and I don't have anything really prepared, so I'm going to ask you if you'd like to call in. Our number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here on the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But perhaps we can take a subject here, or something that I feel very, very deeply about, and that would be the situation of Judge Roy Moore. And, of course, what is Judge Roy Moore's effort to put the Ten Commandments out really all about? Well, it has nothing to do with Judge Moore, and it has nothing to do with the Ten Commandments. It has to do with the question is, can a government official acknowledge God? And if a government official can acknowledge God, then certainly the Chief Justice of the Alabama Supreme Court should be able to have a Ten Commandments monument there and sitting there. It's not going to offend anybody. You have to understand there really are people who hate the Ten Commandments because they represent the Jewish and the Christian religion. If you understand that there really are people who hate Christianity and Judaism because they realize that we were founded on these basic principles of morality, over 77% of the people who were polled recently by CNN agreed with Judge Roy Moore and disagreed with our courts. But that's not going to make any difference because the people who control the judicial system in America today as a whole, and specifically the Supreme Court of the United States, have a different agenda. They worship a different God, and they intend to destroy the foundation of this country and merge us into a new world order. Now, to understand the background, you must understand that freedom and religion are inseparable. You destroy the religion, you destroy freedom. Certainly, Solzhenitsyn was asked one time, what happened in Russia? Why did you go communist? And his reply was, the Russian people forgot God. Well, I very much fear that this is what's going on in America today. For as Whitaker Chambers had said, human societies, like human beings, live by faith and die when faith dies. Human societies, like human beings, live by faith and die when faith dies, and faith is dying. Well, Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and our regularly scheduled guest is not here, so we're going to talk about Judge Roy Moore, and I hope many of you will decide you're going to give us a call and perhaps participate in our conversation. You have to understand that Judge Roy Moore is basically a Christian, and he feels that we need to get this issue straightened out once and for all, and that is, can the Supreme Court of the United States override religious preferences of the people in the states and limit the practice of religion? You'll find in many areas in America today, if a child bows their head in school to pray, maybe again the kindergarten, they'll get into real trouble. Because there is an anti-Christian bias within our schools, within our government, within our courts. And these people hate God. You can see what they've done over the Christmas season. They took every mention of Christmas out of this time. How many programs did you see on television that had anything to do with the birth of our Savior? And yet, that's what Christmas is all about. Christmas was all about the birth of Jesus and how he grew up and how he was crucified and how he was killed and then resurrected. That's the story of Christmas, the birth and death and resurrection of our Lord. Well, they've taken that completely out of Christmas season. They've taken it out of the Easter celebration because there is a conspiracy against God. And, of course, as we talk a little bit more, let's get into the background of that. 50 years ago, almost everybody knew that the United States was a Christian nation. Our first official documents written in North America was the Mayflower Compact. It acknowledged the Pilgrims' reliance on God. Governor Bradford wrote about that struggle, the Pilgrims' struggle in their faith, and the first Thanksgiving was held to express the Pilgrims' gratitude to God for his blessing. Since that time, Thanksgiving has reflected the gratitude of the American people for God's bounty on our land. Successive waves of settlers came to America to escape religious persecution and to worship God as they saw fit. And then, of course, the Great Awakening in 1740 laid the foundation for the American Revolution. Harvard University was established in Cambridge to train ministers to teach the gospel. From the opening paragraph, the second paragraph of the Declaration of Independence, which proclaims that all men are created equal and endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, to the closing sentence of Article 7 of the U.S. Constitution, which refers to the year of our Lord, Christianity shaped the formation of the United States of America. 53 of the 55 men who signed the Declaration of Independence were Christians. 51 of the 55 men who wrote the Constitution were evangelical Christians. Two others were Catholics. President George Washington and President Abraham Lincoln both wrote about America's reliance on God, and every United States president, when he was inaugurated, placed his hand on a Bible. The Treaty of Paris, which was signed in 1783, and the treaty with Russia, which was signed in 1789, both mentioned the Trinity. Congress enacted the Northwest Ordinance in 1789, which proclaimed religion, morality, and knowledge being necessary for good government, the preservation of liberty and the happiness of mankind. Schools and the means of education shall forever be encouraged in this state. Many of our individual states required their public officials to sign an affidavit saying that they were Christians, and several states had an official Christian religion at the time America was founded. Many state Supreme Courts based their decisions on the fact the United States was a Christian nation, and in the case of the Church of the Holy Trinity versus United States in 1892, the United States Supreme Court declared that our country was a Christian nation because, and here's a quotation, "This is historically true. From the discovery of this continent to the present hour, there's a single voice making this affirmation." These are not individuals' sayings, declarations of private persons. They are organic utterances. They speak the voice of the entire people. These and many other matters which might be noticed add a volume of unofficial declaration to the massive organic utterance that this is a Christian nation. That was the finding of the United States Supreme Court in 1892. The Continental Congress, which preceded the Constitution, opened its sessions with prayer. And the United States Senate and the Congress still open their sessions with prayer to this day. In God We Trust was placed on the American coins in the mid-1980s and printed on our currency in the 1990s. The Pledge of Allegiance refers to one nation under God, and the U.S. Supreme Court opens with this statement, being made by the choir, "God save the United States and this honorable court." The Alabama Supreme Court opens with a similar proclamation, "God save the state and this honorable court." Every U.S. president has mentioned God in his inaugural address. Many have declared days of public fasting and prayer. Yet Judge Roy Moore was removed from the Alabama Supreme Court because he contends that a state has the right to acknowledge God. Now, why did both the conservative and liberal wings of the establishment, which controls our media, demonize Judge Moore? Why do Christian spokesmen like Jay Sekulow, chief counsel of the American Center for Law and Justice, who works for Pat Robertson, and Richard Land, who is the president of the Southern Baptist Convention, Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission, and David Limbaugh, who wrote a book about Christian persecution, why do they all demonize Judge Roy Moore? Judge Moore summarized his position in an article published by the Wall Street Journal on August 25th, 2003. Now, I should point out the editorial staff of the Wall Street Journal demonized him the following day, as did the editorial staff of literally all of the major publications, because, you see, whether they're left or right, conservative or liberal, Republican or Democrat, they are all joined together in one thing, and that is hatred. Hatred of Christianity and fundamental Judaism. But this is what Judge Roy Moore wrote in the article that appeared in the Wall Street Journal on the 25th of August. "The battle over the Alabama Ten Commandments monument is not about a monument and not about politics. On this, Federal Judge Myron Thompson, who ordered the monument's removal, and I are in perfect agreement. This case is about one issue. can the state acknowledge God? These are the precise words which Judge Thompson used in his closing argument before the court. Today, I argue for the rule of law and against any unilateral declaration of a judge to ban the acknowledgement of God in the public sector. Now, the controlled media didn't tell the American people what happened to the Judiciary Commission hearing where Judge Roy Moore was removed from the Alabama Supreme Court, so I have a copy of the transcript, and I've included it in my December letter, and you can get a copy of that if you give us a call at 1-800-544-8927 and specifically ask for the December newsletter. And here's the background. The governor of Alabama, Bob James, supported Judge Moore's contention that the federal government had no right to remove the Ten Commandments monument from the Supreme Court building in Mobile, Alabama, because the Constitution specifically says Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. It was a restriction placed on Congress, and the Congress had no right to say anything at all about religion. That was the restriction of the First Amendment, and it was put in there specifically to prevent what's happening today, because our founding fathers realized if you could destroy the religious faith of our people, you could destroy this nation. Well, the governor, Bob James, was looking for an attorney general who would back Judge Roy Moore. So there was a young man named William Pryor, and William Pryor wanted to be the attorney general, so he promised the governor. He would back Judge Roy Moore. He agreed with Judge Moore. He even gave the governor a copy of an article he had written for the for a law journal, saying that a judge has a right and an attorney has a right to violate an instruction by a judge if what the judge is saying is wrong. It's called interposition, and it is a legal term, and it means that you don't have to do what a judge says, because judges don't make law, they interpret the law, and if the judge is wrong, you not only have the right, you have the obligation to disagree with him. So the governor appointed William Pryor, the attorney general, and at that point he became Judge Roy Moore's attorney. He sat in on his defense team. He knew everything they were going to do, how they were going to argue their case. And then why President Bush appointed William Pryor to the 11th Circuit Court to a judicial position. Well, the Democrats didn't like Pryor because, of course, he pretended to be pro-life, but he's not a man of any integrity because he said, even though I'm pro-life, I would make my decisions against that because I would not let what I believe have any influence over any of my judicial decisions. So they were filibustering him, and Pryor then, I decided he was going to, of course, to win the favor of the Democrats. So he switched sides. And, of course, he attacked Judge Roy Moore. He set up a kangaroo court made up in part of people he had appointed to the bench or people who shouldn't have been there. They had a hearing. They would not allow the television cameras in. They would not allow movie cameras in. They wouldn't even allow anybody to transcribe or record what was said, because this was a court that they were going to have, and they were going to get rid of George Roy Moore and put to rest this idea that a government official or anybody else really has the right to acknowledge God, but specifically, does a government official have the right to acknowledge God? That's what it was all about. So, William Pryor then, of course, we have the transcript of what was said. It was taken, and I won't tell you how we got it, but we have the transcript, because they don't want you to know what this was all about. And when we get back from the break, which we're going to right now, we'll, of course, read you the statement that was made. William Pryor said to Judge Moore that he wanted him to read the statement he had made to Judge Myron Thompson's court. And so we'll give you that, we'll tell you what was said, and then, of course, we'll welcome your calls at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295 as we begin to develop this idea of who's behind what's going on in America today. I think you'll be very surprised to find out that what's happening is not by accident, but part of long-range planning. And behind that, of course, are the dark spiritual forces which rule the world. At one time, America was a Christian nation, but of course, when the wicked people took over America, we lost our Christian foundation. This is a fascinating four-tape set.
genocide. And one of the tapes is an interview with a Dr. Dinigan who heard back in 1969 actually a talk given by Dr. Day, who would later become the president of Planned Parenthood. And Dr. Day laid out the whole plan for America, the fact there are too many people, the fact that we're going to have to create new diseases, the fact that we're going to have to conceal some of the very obvious treatments for cancer, because people are going to have to die of something, they might as well die of cancer. An incredible interview, and a series of other interviews that will go into the background of what is happening in America, why new diseases are cropping up all the time. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR for copies of our 4-tape set, Genocide. It's vitally important that you help us to get this message out across America, because without knowledge, my people perish. America, our values, our future are under attack today.
Hello, garlic lovers. This is Radio Health journalist Bill Sardi to talk to you about a breakthrough in garlic technology. It's called Alamet. You know all the healthy reasons to take garlic, but isn't it time you got your money's worth? A recent study found the 24 leading brands of garlic pills provided little, if any, allicin, garlic's primary active ingredient. Try Alamax, which is the only odorless garlic supplement to provide pure allicin, a full 180 milligrams. That's the power of 15 fresh cloves of garlic. Alamax isn't available in stores, so call 866-405-4000. That's Alamax at 866-405-4000.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here, and I just want to mention some of the items that we have. One of the things we have is, of course, the Big Berkey water filters. And the Big Berkey water filters are a very efficient means of filtering water, and we hope that many of you would want to get one of these. It's wonderful if there's an emergency. It's wonderful if you want to filter water from a lake or from a river or from a pond. The Big Berkey has been around for 150 years, used by missionaries, and, of course, in the they put the water in the top, it comes out the bottom, and rather than going out and buying expensive bottled water and other things, this is a very efficient means of filtering your water, and, of course, it takes out the pesticides and the herbicides and the bacteria and most of these things that you don't want in your water. The Big Berkey is $239.95 plus shipping. If you buy it through us, well, you get a 4-tape set or a video we produced. And, of course, we hope that you'll get them through us. Only trouble is that they're not available in either California or Iowa. However, if you want to get one in California, well, you can get something called a Berkey Light. And a Berkey Light is a portable water filter, and the portable water filter, of course, will give you even better water filter, the made of Lexan. It's transparent, so you can see the water levels. And then the filters are black Berkey filters, which are much more efficient than the Big Berkey filters, which are ceramic. The only difficulty is you have to replace them every 2 to 3 years or 4 years, depending on how much you use them. Now, with both the items, why you can get a special filters to put on. We call them post filters. It'll take the fluoride out. If you'd like to see what these look like, go to our website at radioliberty.com. Now, the Berkey Light is $199.95 plus shipping, and if you get that through us, you'll get a 4-tape set or video we produce. So we hope that you'll seriously consider having one of these. We have a Berkey Light. We wouldn't be without it. It's a handy thing to have, and you always know that you can get water in an emergency. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. Well, Dr. Stan back here, and we were just talking about Judge Roy Moore and the fact that there is an organized effort out there to destroy the religious faith of this country. Of course, they're working within the churches. They've changed the music and the message of the church. Have you noticed how the music of your church has changed? Have you noticed how the message of your church has changed? When was the last time you heard a sermon on hell? Or on sin, and you're going to go to hell if you are a sinner and are not repentant of your sin, and we just don't talk about those things anymore. And, of course, as C.S. Lewis had said, at the time when Christians used to think a great deal about the afterlife, they were very effective and a great force for good in our society. But as Christians have thought less and less about the afterlife, they have had less and less impact. on society. Well, we've got Mike calling right now from Santa Cruz. Hi, Mike. How are you doing?
Yeah, hi, Stan. I just wanted to talk a little bit about just how organized that assault is, as you were just mentioning.
All right, go ahead.
Back to your discussion of the loss of freedom as the biblical system falls apart, I want to just bring up a slightly different approach. I don't think you'll disagree. What I think is we're trading actually one set of freedoms for another. We have one sector of our society that's, as you and I are, speaking against the loss of freedom as the biblical system falls apart. But there's another sector of society that complains of their lack of freedom under the biblical system, right? We hear about them all the time, basically the pagan sector. They don't like the restraints of the Ten Commandments, etc. As has been discussed in previous programs of yours, we've had federal judge Myron Thompson down the street who brought the ruling against Judge Roy Moore, and his monument to the goddess Themis out in front of his courthouse that nobody seems to be complaining against, except for very few who are basically kept silent in the media. There's something about this Themis. In the Greek pantheon, she was married to Zeus, you know, the great Greek god who throws bolts of thunder, etc., down on the earth. Interesting thing about Zeus, in 168 B.C., there was a great event called the first desecration of the temple. In that desecration, there was this Antiochus Epiphanes who sacrificed a pig on the altar in the temple. This pig was sacrificed to Zeus.
All right. Well, of course, the argument they said, you know, the reason that nobody's upset about that that statue in front of Judge Myron Thompson's court, the federal court, is because nobody really believes in these gods anymore. And why the Ten Commandments monument is so offensive is because the majority of the American people do believe in that, you see. And there's a small group that would destroy that faith. This is what it's all about. This is why they've taken God out of the schools, why they refuse to allow creation to be taught in the schools. I have no objection to evolution being taught. It's a stupid theory, and I think you could certainly point out what's wrong with it. But they don't think that they're not interested in presenting both sides. They only want to present one side because if they can destroy the faith of the children, then they feel they can control the next generation. That's really what it's all about.
Yeah.
They have long-range plans. But there really is a conspiracy against God. You can read about it in the Bible and Jeremiah, and I think it's 11:9-11, and certainly in 11:9, and Ezekiel 22:25, the second Psalm. There's always been a conspiracy against God, and this is really what it's all about today. You have to carry over from the spiritual to the political, and this is what most of our people have such a difficult time doing. They cannot understand that there's a force behind Myron Thompson, and when we get into the next half hour, I will tell you how this whole thing came about. But first, I really want to tell our listeners what was said at this meeting, this kangaroo court that was held, where they kept anybody there from recording what was said, where they, of course, they prevented the television cameras. And Judge Roy Moore said, I want the television cameras in. Oh, no, we couldn't have that. Why? Because they really don't want the American people to know what this is really all about.
Mm-hmm.
Have anything else you want to say there?
Well, regarding people who don't really believe that there's anything to the Greek pantheon, somebody believes in Themis enough to have spent all that money to put that fancy monument out front of their building.
Oh, I'll tell you what, there is a small group of people who worship different gods. And these people are in the key positions in our society today.
Right.
These are the pagans. These are the people who manipulate our society. Remember, of course, when Hillary Clinton was in the White House. She was bringing in Jean Houston to conjure up spirits of Eleanor Roosevelt and Mahatma Gandhi. Everybody thought it was funny. Her husband was the highest-ranking Demolay in the country. You know what happened to Jacques Demolay? Why, he was burned at the stake because he was a Luciferian. And yet, of course, Bill Clinton was the highest-ranking Demolay in America. But don't feel bad. I'm not picking on the Democrats. Nancy Reagan and, yes, even Ronald was deeply involved in astrology. But we never talk about that, do we? Because, of course, well, we'll be back in just a few moments here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan here, and I just want to, of course, remind you about some of the items we have. One of the new items that we're carrying is a video called Megiddo, the March to Armageddon, and it's really the best single video I've seen at all about the spiritual battle that's taking place. It goes into the background of the Illuminati. Yes, the Illuminati was very real. You go back and you read the Encyclopedia Britannica written 100 years ago, and they had all sorts of articles on the Illuminati. They've simply taken it out of modern versions of the Illuminati. Why? Well, they just put it down the memory hole. And, of course, you go to classes today and go and study these things. They never mentioned the secret societies, but, of course, the secret societies had a profound impact on what's going on in America today. Let me mention a video that we carry. It's called Megiddo, and we hope that many of you will give serious consideration to wanting to get it. It goes into the background of the political struggle. It goes into the fact that we are moving towards a third world war. In fact, we're already in a third world war, and this has been planned going back for 150 years. It goes back to the time of Mazzini and Albert Pike, and that we're talking about back in the 1870s, when in a correspondence they were writing to one another saying, how would we bring about this world government under the control of the Antichrist? Why, we will do it, of course, by having three world wars. Well, we've already had the First World War and the Second World War. You'll want to see this video. It's the best weapon we have to educate people. It's called Megiddo, and you can get it by calling 1-800-544-8927. We have another wonderful video. It's called Diaprax in the Church, and it shows how these mind control manipulative programs, which have been used in corporations and by government, have now entered the church. And really, they're very, very effective. And the trouble is the Christians don't even realize that they are being manipulated. And yet, have you noticed how the music and the message of the churches is changing? And so we hope that many of you will want to get this excellent video. It's called Diaprax in the Church. Over 2 hour, very professionally done video by Dr. Robert Klink. Both of these are available, both Megiddo and Diaprax are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. And then, of course, if you have not yet seen my video of the Brotherhood of Darkness, you really need to get it and watch it, or get the book and read it through, or better still, get the book, the video, and the audio tape for $29.95. Watch it, and then help us get the truth out. Okay, fine. Well, I think we've got Chuck Daly on the line. Hi, Chuck. How you doing?
Hey, Dr. Stan. How you doing?
I'm doing just great. Good to hear from you.
Yeah, you too. I don't think most of your callers realize it, Dr. Stan. I'm going to get a little edification here that you're quite a wonderful man, in my opinion, because you really step out there and you tell people like it is. You're working for God. And you know what? I pray for you all the time.
Well, I sure appreciate that, Chuck.
And, people don't really realize what kind of a man you are. I was blessed with the opportunity last month to go to your seminar. And I'll tell you what, that was the greatest thing that I've ever attended. I was able to get three of your information things, like Exposing the Illuminati from Within. Very good video by Bill Snowblin.
Right.
People want to find out what's really behind the spiritual war. When they see that, they're just going to be astounded. And then I got that Elite Serial Killer, the Lincoln, JFK, RFK.
Right.
Find out about the Rothschilds with their $100 trillion. Find out about the Rockefellers with their $10 trillion. And then that Brotherhood of Darkness. If they could get those three, Dr. Stan, they would really know what's going on. But God bless you for what you're doing. I mean, you know, this is a spiritual battle. People just have to stand in there and for the cause and just realize that in the end we win. It'd be just like you go into a football game, and all of a sudden you're down 20-0, someone comes out there and says to you, aren't you worried about it? You say no, because I know in the end we come back and win.
Okay, God bless you. Thanks so much, Chuck.
And to you.
Bye-bye. Okay, fine, and of course, we got Roger calling from Pennsylvania. Roger, question or comment?
Yeah, even Dr. Stan. And I thought Jacques de Molay, while he was a Satanist, I thought his being burned at the stake was more related to charges of the time of him having been a pedophile.
Well, of course, he was into homosexuality and all sorts of sexual perversion, but they all went together. But it was because the Knights Templar were Luciferians, and once this was uncovered, and of course you remember, most people don't know why Friday the 13th is a bad day. Well, Jacques de Molay was arrested on Friday the 13th of October 1307 and exposed, and the whole Templar movement, which they were the central bankers of Europe all during the 1200s, and they were exposed. This whole Luciferian movement was into homosexuality and all sorts of perversion, but it was mainly because, of course, they tapped into the secret wisdom in the Near East when the Templars guarded the Temple Square in Jerusalem in the 1200s, and they'd actually, of course, found out what the secret of the mysteries and the ancient mystery religions was. And that, of course, then was eventually exposed on the Friday the 13th of October, 1307. Jacques de Molay was burned at the stake about a year or so later. The Templars were, of course, dispersed. Many of them went to Scotland, and then, of course, they surfaced in 1717 as the Masons, and of course, had a profound impact on the formation of this country, even of the architecture of our nation's capital. We have a book written about the occult architecture of our nation's capital, because it was laid out in all the symbology of Masonry. Anything else, Roger?
Yeah, on this, especially with this prescription drug benefit, $400 billion-plus dollars boondoggle, and that's just the initial projections, I guess. But the fact, I was thinking that you can spend a lot more money to effectively keep someone alive today. That if you were J.P. Vanderbilt back 100 years ago or whatever, you might have maxed out at $50,000 for the most expensive disease, say, in today's dollars. You could have spent another $1 million on top of that on just luxuries, having nothing to do with keeping the person alive. Now, the fact that we can spend all this money to keep people alive today to effect, does that create a corresponding moral obligation to society to supply that loot? No, of course it doesn't. So I would beg our seniors or anybody who may well die because they can't afford it to ask themselves, is that worth leaving a legacy of my children to slavery to the state just to extend my life?
Well, first of all, Roger, letting the government provide prescriptions for our senior citizens is the worst thing we could do. Why? Because it is simply a means of subsidizing the drug companies, which have contributed so generously to the leadership of both political parties. Because why do you think both the Democrats and the Republicans back this? Does anybody really think that we'll get by with $40 billion a year? When Medicare came in back in 1965, it was going to cost $500 million the first year, and they said that they thought it would cost about $9 billion by the year 1990. Of course, it was really costing $90 billion. It's costing $256 billion for Medicare expenditures at the present time. And of course, it's going to bankrupt the United States. The real reason for this drug legislation was, of course, to try to encourage senior citizens to go into, they call it competitive forms of health care insurance. They want to set up PPOs and HMOs and force people into those because they don't want to have to ration access to health care because they're afraid the American people will get angry with them. So they will talk foolish senior citizens into going into these HMOs and PPOs where their health care will be rationed. But, of course, it will not be the politicians' fault. It was their decision. Well, let me tell you what happened to a friend of mine, a very close friend. In fact, he was a physician, and he went into, and he had Medicare, and he went into Medicare HMO, and all of a sudden he lost his vision in one eye. He went to his HMO doctor. Now, this is a physician, a very prominent physician. Goes to the HMO doctor, who says, "Oh, your blood pressure's up. Well, here, take these pills and come and see me in 3 weeks." 3 weeks later, he's blind in the eye still. He comes back, and the doctor says, "Well, I'll send you to a specialist." Now, why didn't he send to a specialist immediately? Because it would have cost him money. And we are actually rewarding the doctors for rationing health care. Well, when my friend then went to an ophthalmologist, he said, "Gee, if you'd been here 3 weeks ago, we might very well have been able to save your vision, but it's permanent. You're going to get blind in the eye from now on." That's what this is really all about. But, of course, you're going to bribe the seniors into going into this with, of course, the promise of reduced cost for drugs. But they're not really going to reduce the cost of the drugs. What you're doing is, of course, giving the drug companies free rein to rape the populace. Because where is the $40 billion or $400 billion or whatever it's going to cost go to? It's going to go to the drug companies. And a lot of these, of course, tie right into the Rockefellers and these other multi-trillionaire corporations, and ties into Chase Manhattan Bank. There is a small group of people who really control our country, and you need to get in the background of the Council on Foreign Relations. You can get their annual report by simply writing to the director of the Council on Foreign Relations at 58 East 68th Street in New York City. That's 58 East 68th Street in New York City. Ask for their annual report, and then look and see who finances their organization. You'll be amazed at how many of the drug companies are there. So why do we want, of course, to funnel more money to the drug companies? Because they're the ones who are going to get the benefit of it. And they put the prices of these drugs up just to impossible levels. Not only that, but they've convinced the doctors that we've got to put everybody on blood pressure medicine. Now, when I practiced medicine, and from the very inception of medicine, you know, here in America a couple of hundred years ago, you figured the normal blood pressure for a person over 60 years of age was 100 plus their age. So if you were of 60, your blood pressure should be 160. If you were 70, your blood pressure should be 170. Well, the drug company said, look, we can't get make any money that way, so let's convince the doctors that everybody has to have a blood pressure of 120. And if it's over 120 or over 130, why, they've got to take our medicines, and then they jack the price up to something ridiculous, and they've got the doctors pushing this. They've done the same thing with the cholesterol. Now, if you look at the studies on blood pressure, they have a large number of people, and they will tell you, well, if you take a look at all these 20,000 people, and if you took the medicines, why only 10% were going to die. If you didn't take the medicine, 13% were going to die. And that's a difference of 3%. But then, of course, they move the figures around, and suddenly it becomes 25% increase in longevity by taking their medicines. Well, how many people are going to get strokes because you've lowered their blood pressure? People have run a blood pressure of 160, 170 for years, and you're going to give them something that suddenly to lower their blood pressure? I think it's wrong. But the doctors are told this is the way they have to practice medicine. They're doing the same thing with the cholesterol. Cholesterol, it used to be normal up to 230, but you can't make any money with because most people weren't over 230, so they had to lower that down to 200. And then they had to convince everybody they had to be on some form of cholesterol-lowering drug, which they jacked the price up on. And I would say that this is just incredible that the American people are going along with this, and even more tragic that nobody within the medical profession is pointing out that most of these committees that have come up with these reports are hired by the drug companies. In fact, just yesterday in the Los Angeles Times was an article about how the National Institute of Health, which of course comes up with all the recommendations, so many of the employees of the NIH are also on the salary and receiving stipends from the drug companies. The article, we'll be glad to get copies of it for anybody who'd like to see that, yesterday in the Los Angeles Times, probably still available. The NIH doctors who are making the recommendations on what you should do for your health are all employed by the drug companies, or most of them are. When you take away a moral foundation from a nation, you get, of course, everything being motivated by greed, and this is what's happened to America.
Dr. Stan, as cruel as markets might be in apportioning resources, is not the state even more cruel and impersonal?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, down the line, we know very well they're going to begin rationing access to health care, and actually rationing access to drugs. They do this in Canada. They ration the drugs. There are only certain drugs that you can get, and you can't get other drugs that might be effective and might even be better. It's going to happen here. And that's really what this whole new Medicare legislation is about, is to get the seniors into these alternative plans in the name of, now you're going to, of course, get, lower prices on your drugs, and in the process they can withhold health care. That's what it's all about.
God bless, Dr. Stan.
Thank you so much, Roger. And our telephone number again is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Well, we started out to tell you what Judge Roy Moore said. He was asked then to read the statement he made before Judge Myron Thompson's court. And here's what Judge Moore said. I am upholding my oath. I have nothing to apologize for. I'm upholding the First Amendment. I'm upholding the Constitution of Alabama. and we were too ashamed to acknowledge God. When we let a federal judge come in and tell us, call it the rule of law, that we can't acknowledge God as the justice system says we must, as the Constitution says we must, then we've got a problem. I did what I did all the way through, not from what you read in the newspapers, not from what you imagine about politics or religion or forcing my beliefs on somebody else. I did what I did because I upheld my oath, and that's what I did. So I have no apologies for it. I would do it again. I didn't say I'd defy the court order. I said I wouldn't move the monument, and I didn't move the monument, which you can take as you will. But you know, I think you have to have respect for the court, but I also have respect enough for the court to tell them when they have no jurisdiction in this matter under the 10th Amendment of the United States Constitution, which declares that the powers not delegated to the United States by the Constitution, nor prohibited by it to the states, are reserved to the states respectively, or to the people. In other words, the establishment of the justice system doesn't belong with the federal government in Alabama. One more thing. I respect you guys and ladies, and that's my statement. If you have any question, I'll be glad to answer it. And not at that point, Attorney General Pryor asked Judge Moore, "And you stand by that testimony?" The reply, "Yes, sir." "Mr. Chief Justice, and you understand that the federal court ordered that you could not acknowledge God. Isn't that right?" "Yes, sir." "And if you resume your duties as Chief Justice after this proceeding, you will continue to acknowledge God as you've testified that you would?" "That's right." "No matter what any other official says?" "Absolutely." "Without, let me clarify that, without an acknowledgement of God, I cannot do my duties. I must acknowledge God. It says so in the Constitution of Alabama. It says so in the First Amendment to the United States Constitution. It says so in everything I've read, so..." Interrupting. "The only point I'm trying to clarify, Mr. Chief Justice, is not why, but only that, in fact, if you do resume your duties as Chief Justice, you will continue to do that without regard to what any official says. Isn't that right?" And Judge Moore replied, "Well, I'll do the same thing this court did today when we started with prayer. That's an acknowledgement of God. Now we did the same thing that justices do when they place their hand on the Bible and say, 'So help me God.' It's an acknowledgement of God. The Alabama Supreme Court opens with the statement, 'God save the state and this honorable court.' It's an acknowledgement of God. In my opinion, which I've written many opinions, acknowledging God is the source, a moral source, of our law. I think you must." And ladies and gentlemen, if we have a society without a moral foundation, you'll end up, as we are today, with the people at the NIH making decisions about your health based upon how much money they're getting paid by the drug companies, and they're on the take. And they say, "Oh, they got the cut to the hand of the cookie jar. Oh, why, we've just got to put a stop to this." But how long do you think it's going to last? I mean, you invest in the stock market, and the people who are running the stock companies are just simply raping the company and stealing your money, and nothing has ever happens to them. And you don't get your money back. Maybe they have to pay a fine, but it all goes to the government. Most of it does. When you lose your moral foundation, society cannot exist. Now, let's ask the question, why can't a public official acknowledge God? American schools opened their classes with prayer for 160 years. Copies of the Ten Commandments were displaced in classrooms for 180 years. What happened? Why are we forsaking our Christian heritage? Who's behind the effort to convert our republic, our Christian republic, into a secular democracy? 53 of the 55 men who wrote the Constitution were Christians. They wanted the states and local communities to promote Christianity, not the federal government. So they enacted the First Amendment, which states, "Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof." The First Amendment restricts federal officials, not state officials. Since the Founding Fathers feared some future tyrant would distort the meaning of the First Amendment, they added the Tenth Amendment to the Constitution, which states, "The powers not delegated to the United States by the Constitution, nor prohibited by it to the states, are reserved to the states respectively, or to the people." Thomas Jefferson foresaw what was going to happen, and he wrote this, "It's long been my opinion, I have never shrunk from its expression, that the germ of dissolution of our federal government is in the constitution of our federal judiciary, an irresponsible body, for impeachment is scarcely a scarecrow, working like gravity by night and by day, gaining a little today and a little tomorrow, and advancing its noiseless step like a thief over the field of jurisprudence until all shall be usurped from the states, and the government of all be consolidated into one. To this I am opposed, because when all power has been centralized with the federal government, we will have a government as venal as the one we've just recently separated from. And that, of course, is where we're headed today. Who's behind the effort to centralize power in Washington, D.C.? Well, we'll have to tell you that, or you can get the rest of the article, but we take you into the background of Franklin Delano Roosevelt, who packed the United States Supreme Court with Masons who controlled and dominated our court for a period of 30 years. Nobody's going to tell you that. But the Masons worship a different God. They worship the great architect of the universe, not the God of the Bible. And, of course, if you've read my book, The Brotherhood of Darkness, you'll know who the great architect of the universe really is. We'll be back here in just a moment, here at Radio Liberty.
Now, most people laugh at the idea that there is or has been a secret society. I wanted to tell you about a tape we have. It's a talk I gave before the Concerned Women of America some years ago, and it basically goes back into the background behind the secret society, which was formed in England and eventually came to America and came to be known as the Council on Foreign Relations. It goes into the background of Cecil Rhodes. And how does that secret society that he created impact on you today? If you read the works of Professor Carol Quigley, who was Bill Clinton's mentor, you'll understand that Professor Quigley is probably one of the leading experts today on history, but also a man who had the courage to speak out. You need to get the four-tape set, The Secret Government, to understand what Professor Quigley taught Bill Clinton. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, because America is under attack today.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. I want to mention some of the other items we have, which we hope many of you will be interested in getting. One of them is called Phonopoly, and it's a board game played like Monopoly, but it's designed to teach you or your children, your grandchildren, how to read and spell and pronounce words phonetically. Phonopoly is a fun game to play. It's not one game, it's actually five games, five board games and two bonus games. But by the time you spend 16 hours here, you will be able to read as well as most college professors do, and you'll learn how to read and spell and pronounce words. Phonopoly, most of these is designed to teach you to read phonetically. Most of the programs are $300, $400, $500, $600, $800. This is $139.95, and we recommend it to you. It's called Phonopoly. Give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. And then, of course, we also carry the Miracle 2 soap products, and we can't make any medical claims. All we can say is that many of the people who use these products tell them how happy they are with it, and how it's helped their rashes and acne and upper and lower gastrointestinal tract symptoms. And my wife uses it to wash the drain board to keep the ants away. They don't seem to like this, and, of course, some people put it on their flowers. Why this works, I can't tell you, but I've used it for 7 years. I'm happy as I can be. I use the moisturizing soap, and then I use my skin, and then I use the gel on my hair. And I still have a head of hair. Most of my friends are losing theirs, but at least I haven't lost any more, although I still do have a little bald spot there. But the Miracle 2 soap products are available. We have a special introductory offer. You can see them up on our website. But give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. And ask for the Miracle 2 soap products. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and, of course, this is the time when I have to mention that Radio Liberty is listener-supported, and as you know, we do 5 hours of talk radio a day. We buy time on most of the stations where we're heard, and, of course, we need, quite frankly, your help to continue doing what we're doing. And if you believe in what we're doing, if you believe we're involved in a spiritual battle being fought on a political, ideological, cultural, economic, financial battlefield, why give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. We'd love to welcome you into the Radio Liberty family of supporters. And then, of course, we hope that many of you want to go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com, where you can listen to our programs 5 hours a day. And then when you get tired of that, why, you can go to the archive programs that are there. Of course, we don't expect you to do that, but we do hope that you get some of those programs and listen to them. And then, of course, get the documentation and get it to others. Because most of the American people are good people. They just are not getting the truth from Rush Limbaugh or Bill O'Reilly or Dan Rather or Tom Brokaw, the two sides, one conservative, the other liberal, of the establishment. It's sort of like the Wall Street Journal is supposed to be conservative, and the New York Times and Washington Post are supposed to be liberal, and, of course, National Review is supposed to be conservative, and the American Spectator, but they all tie into the Council on Foreign Relations. In fact, both the conservative and the liberal sides of our media tie into the Council on Foreign Relations, and this is why you don't get the truth. What they've done is very, very cleverly giving you the impression you're hearing both sides, and you watch a lot of these programs on television and all the arguments, but they never argue the right point. And they're simply taking the American people in, and they only need to do it a little bit longer because they're going to destroy this country with their globalization program. The dollar's falling, gold and silver are going up because people are looking for some sort of a refuge, and they're going to destroy the value of your pension, of your annuity, of your savings, of your CDs, of your stock. And if you don't get involved in this and understand what's happening and make some preparations, then you will be impoverished as the people of the middle class of Argentina were just about 2 years ago for exactly the same reasons that are going on here in America today. So you need to get our programs, you need to get our information, and then you need to help us inform others because that's what we do. 5 hours a day and then on 35 stations on the weekend. And actually we have two separate programs on the weekend we do trying to educate people. Now, some of the things you can do, we have a wonderful new video. It's called Megiddo, the March to Armageddon. It's the finest video I've ever seen, going into the background of what's happening in America today. And we hope that many of you will consider getting it. It goes into the Masons, the Illuminati, the plan for three wars. Beautifully done, beautifully staged, great music, with appearances from Carol Matriciana and David Bay and William Still and Dave Hunt, explaining exactly what's going on from a geopolitical and then, of course, from a spiritual point of view. And that's the big problem today. Some people talk about the spiritual, they talk about the geopolitical, but they never put them together. This video does Megiddo, the March to Armageddon, and then, of course, we hope that many of you will want to get our video. It's called Diaprax in the Church, explaining why they've changed the music and the message of the church and what this church growth movement is and how it's going to alter the perception of Christianity. You're not going to change the perception of what God really is, but you're going to change the perception of God, and you're going to draw an awful lot of people away from our Lord and Savior through a false gospel, which, of course, is the very foundation of the church growth movement. So give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and then pray for America. Pray for revival. Pray for our leaders. Pray for our ministers. Please remember to pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision, and for our protection. And so until tomorrow, when we'll be back with you once again, hopefully with a guest, so we don't have to, of course, to simply improvise the program. Dr. Stan saying goodbye. May the Lord be with you.